There's nothing unusual about growing old, but it is unusual when our faithful dog goes to the linen closet to be let outside rather than the back door. When our beloved pets start exhibiting behavior that is eccentric or confusing, it can be a sign of senility. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal believes senility is becoming more common due to the fact that we have better care at our disposal. So, our pets are living longer.
A lot of the pet care that's out there, a lot of the investment, emotional and financial, in health care, we're seeing some animals with significant intelligence and cognitive ability get into some older years. And it's just inevitable that if nothing else breaks down on them, eventually we may see some stuff in their brain break down.
Is this genetic in the dogs, or is there something going on with their lives that is outside of them that is causing this?
I don't know that there's been any genetic attachment proven to this syndrome as much as, again, just to some of these animals. There has been some research into preventative measures, which are really not that difficult to do. And a lot of things dietarily. When we tell you to put your pet on fatty acids when they're 3 years old, a diet with high quality fatty acids, or when we're looking at certain quality diets, there isn't fixing it once it starts. You can't, maybe you can slow it down. If you see that your pet's starting to develop senility or dementia or whatever you'd like to refer to it as, and then decide it's time to institute some dietary therapy, you're probably not going to affect the process. So one of the arguments for looking into certain dietary changes early on, sort of natural anti-inflammatory diets early on, is to try to make this brain stay as healthy as possible.
If we do see some early symptoms of this, do you feel that there's basically nothing we can do in order to slow it down, and certainly not to stop it?
Well, it's interesting. Part of it is just figuring it out. At what point is an old dog who's deaf and less responsive? And we're going to focus this discussion a little bit on dogs. And if we go through the places that senility or dementia, cognitive disorder, when you look at the places that it most obviously manifests on a day-to-day basis, it's easy to see why cats may be getting it as much as dogs, but the cat's lifestyle sort of is preventative for the kind of changes we see.
What are those changes?
There's a handful. Disorientation. One of the classic signs we'll see in dogs is when it's time to go outside.
They'll go to a kitchen cupboard rather than the back door.
Exactly. They'll go to the hinge side of the door versus the doorknob side of the door. And that's usually a corner, and they'll sit there and kind of wonder why the owner's not letting them out. Well, there's a habit. The owner picks that up because they're letting their dog outside. Cats don't need to go indoors and outdoors. So a lot of cats' behaviors are restricted to indoor activity. Dogs are used to telling their owners when they have to go outside, going to the door to let them know they have to go outside. And this is one of the places where we'll see some behavioral breakdown, both in how they acknowledge that they need to go outside, or another sign is not going outside anymore, sort of not realizing that they're urinating, or we call it poop dropping sometimes, where they're not actually positioning to have a bowel movement. But if they're pushing upstairs, for instance, they'll start dropping feces on the stairs as they're going up.
So that's an early sign.
It can be. Now, again, we'll see some dogs with significant spinal and pelvic arthritis who become poop droppers, but they're totally fine mentally. They really just are starting to struggle a little bit neurologically in the back end, but their brains are fine.
Well, what are some really definite signs that it's senility?
Along with some of the breakdown in typical behavioral habits in the house, interactions. Some of these animals will either become more withdrawn, and again, dogs have typically a much more social element to their profile than a cat does. They become a little bit more withdrawn. They can become a little bit snarkier, more cranky, sometimes aggressive with handling.
Yeah,
with
they
handling.
Could bite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where they're they may seek petting behavior and then snap when they get that petting behavior. One of the things we see fairly frequently that is, I think, one of my favorite signs for senility.
I love the way you put that.
One of the things when an owner mentions this, we immediately start thinking, oh, okay, let's discuss some other things. And again, you'll see why this is more obvious in dogs and cats. Cats are nocturnal. They're typically can be very active at night and sleep all day. Dogs will often become these dogs who are starting to get senile will sleep all day, and then they're very anxious at night. They're pacing, they're panting, they're roaming the house. And we often hear about this because that's an extremely disturbing sign, obviously, to the owners who are trying to get sleep. One of the things that we do to address that a lot of times is turning on lights, because we sometimes wonder if the animals are getting a little panicked in the dark. They're struggling with just typical cognitive process, and then the dark does not help that. So, And if they're deaf on top of it, a lot of these older animals are deaf, which is a benign change. But when you add that sensory withdrawal, we withdraw that sensory from the element, and they're still, you know, trying to think things through. So we'll sometimes leave lights on throughout the house. One thing that certainly seems to help is really buckling down on scheduling, feeding exactly the same time in exactly the same place, doing the indoor-outdoors exactly the same time, exactly the same place, trying to take as much thought and prediction process out of their general cognitive day as possible. And activity levels generally, but again, how do you measure activity level in a 16-year-old dog? Of course they're going to be less active. So that one can be a little bit difficult until you start seeing activities that are odd. Pacing, sometimes these animals will get up and wander into a corner and just sit there and head press into a corner.
That's so disturbing to see.
It is, it is. And many years ago, actually, this drug's been out for a while, a drug called Anapril, came out specifically for cognitive disorder. In our experience, the results have been very mixed in using this drug. We're certainly willing to pull it off the shelf and give it a shot when we see some of these animals that are starting to sort of become debilitated, really causing a problem.
Does it really help?
Well, if you look at the Anapril studies, it's great. And then if you look at the some of the more referral level studies, mixed results. And then I know we were sort of disappointed early on when the drug first came out. But we will still reach for it on the shelf every once in a while. I think that it should not be the silver bullet, though. Much more important is a little bit of in-house husbandry and management. Keep in mind, these animals aren't suffering. They aren't suffering, which, when it progresses, and it isn't always just senility. For instance, the greatest, my dog of dogs, Hobby Hobbs, he began to break down mentally. And it was getting pretty concerning to me. And I ended up taking him up to a great neurologist in Chicago, and we MRI'd his brain. And I expected them to find like a big grapefruit in there because of how badly he was, you know, declining mentally. Physically, totally fine. And it had turned out that he had additive stroke events. And you could see where the stroke events were. And each one of these strokes had just knocked out a little bit of his ability to function. I was fortunate that I had access to an MRI, that I could afford it, that I was in the field, so it probably wasn't as expensive for me. You know, we can't just send anybody up for MRIs to figure this out.
Yeah.
And at what point, my technician, her dog passed away in the last several years, going down the same path, but then dramatically dropped. And I just had a very close friend who went through the same thing, where we were certain that this was not just senility. These dogs presented as senile, but rather quickly began declining into a much more organic decline, where we didn't do MRIs on either dog, but we really didn't have to. What we were seeing, we knew that there was either medicine, one dog likelihood of metastatic brain cancer, the other dog probably just a primary tumor in the brain from the way they're acting. But it does get complicated. And so there's this whole menu of things that can create dogs' senile changes. Benign senility, this is one where we're just, best thing to do is really structure their habits with feedings and letting them in and out. And then at night, if you start seeing them being restless in the evening, trying to do things to give them something, quote unquote, mentally to hang on to. Lights throughout the house. Not in your room, of course, you guys need to get sleep, but having lights throughout the house. If there's a favorite place they like to sleep and they can hear, sometimes having some sort of sound on, music or radio or anything. Well, and also going back and making sure, is it just senility that's causing them to leak urine? There's a lot of things that can cause animals to leak urine when they're older. Senility is one of them, but there's a whole slew of things, arthritic conditions, physiological conditions, more when we say organic neurological, this is an organic disease, senility is. We think there's protein deposition going on up there, but that's not as aggressive as multiple stroke events or a space-occupying mass. So all of these things can contribute to what we feel is senility in dogs. In cats, again, when you just went through that whole list, cats are typically more active at night. So it can be hard to pick up a cat that sleeps all day and is roaming all night. That's what most of them do. House soiling, cats are so tied into litter box and texture texture-related.
It can be anything that would set them off to not use their litter box.
Exactly. And it takes a lot to get them out of the box. They don't have to have a lot of their brain going for mm-hmm. them, you know, to be drawing it, because that's a habit they create. They're typically having access to food all day. Older cats' activity levels can drop a lot. They don't have a habit that needs to communicate with owners about in and out. So it's not that cats don't get this. In our field, we rarely feel that we are presented with a cat where the primary complaint from the owner is they don't know what's going on anymore. The cat doesn't know what's going on anymore. And in fact, we take a bunch of those off the true senility shelf, because we'll end up finding that their hearts are beginning to fail, or there's something more organic going on, and their emotional and mental decline is secondary to this primary disease.
So if it truly is senility, is this something where we have to basically make the decision to put our animal down, or can the animal live with senility?
Great question, because this really is one of the most difficult euthanasia situations we're presented with. When we euthanize our pets, I use the term want here, obviously, and directed towards closure, not towards, yay, we get to euthanize our pet today. The want is that you feel the relief that you're giving your animal when you humane euthanize them. Bone cancer, end-stage organ failure, advanced neurologic disease, where when your dog's seven or your cat's seven, you get sick at the thought of humanely euthanizing them. And then when you finally see something start eating them up and taking them away from you, you really feel the closure and relief. These senile dogs, or what I went through with Hobbs, with the multiple stroke events, is they're horrible because there's no pain. There's no suffering. You're just seeing your pet become a shell of what it was. And there comes some point where it is entirely fair to that animal to let them go, even though they're not in pain or suffering. When you see your animal, you know, looking normal when they're in repose and sitting there, but when they stand up, their face plants into the ground and they're looking at you like, why can't I get my face off the ground? Or if the entire human companion animal bond relationship is one of where you're every day thinking, should we do another day of this, or should we humanely euthanize? Should we do another day of this? We always tell our clients this. When you get to a point that every day you're wondering if that's the day you're going to put your pet to sleep, it's time to put your pet to sleep, because everything that is about that human companion animal bond is gone at that point. But it can be extremely difficult to go through this because of the fact that there's no true pain or suffering involved.
Except your own true pain and suffering.
Exactly. And no decent pet owner wants to put them in front of their pet when they make this decision. In a sense, we kind of always are. But it's also the veterinarian's responsibility to hold that client's hand and say, hey, we're going to get through this, and we're going to tell you when it's okay and it's not okay, and to be very blunt and very honest. And I think we're very good at that. That is certainly a huge resource for trying to get through a euthanasia decision where there isn't outright pain or suffering in your face.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. Maybe you'd like to add a pet to your life right now. If so, consider the Animal House Pet of the Week. It's Vinny. This 8-year-old domestic short hair sports a natty tuxedo coat, a classic black and white that goes with anything or anyone. Vinny is a sweet fellow with a laid-back approach to life. His needs are simple: a catnip mouse, an occasional back scratch, and a warm human to snuggle. You can find Vinny at the Humane Society of Central Illinois. I'm Laura Kennedy.